everybody, and thank you for tuning into Naruto Revuto, a Naruto rewatch podcast. I am Kim, and joining me today is Jesse.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jesse. I'm still thinking of my intro. Please be patient. If you want to at me, I have as many suggestions you can. It will come eventually.
Fuck yeah. And Tim.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. Commission Jesse's intro. Like, hey, everyone, I love Monsanto. I think Monsanto is good. BP oil, best oil.
Oh, God. No, thank you.
Oh, wow. So we're freaking back. Can't get rid of us. Mm-hmm. We are going through episode 7 through 9 today.
Oh, my God. Yay. We in an anime now, friends.
Things are definitely starting to heat up, and it's very, very exciting. It's very exciting.
Yeah, I said last episode, I'm most curious how we're going to handle episodes like these, because so much of it is fight.
So before we get into the episodes proper, I have some more Naruto facts for us. So this time, let's talk about the music of the series, because I will say it is very distinct. Some would say iconic. And the soundtrack is by Toshio Masuda, and he combined traditional instruments like the shamisen and shakuhachi and chanting, along with rock shit like guitar and drums and piano, etc. I will say the sad Naruto flute, everybody knows that shit.
Yeah, I feel like this is the first episode that starts Naruto's soundtrack.
Yeah.
All of these songs could have been the first 6 episodes. I'm not sure.
No.
But as soon as that, like, like the fight song comes on, or like, yo, this is how our boys and girl are going to, like, not get murdered. Like, it's that, like, we're about to explain shit to you and show you how your children are going to survive. That when that rock song turns on, I'm like, I instantly get pumped. I'm here we go.
I think you're right. They definitely introduce a lot of the iconic music that will be throughout this series in this episode. I literally took a note that said the piano fight song slaps.
Yes! Hell yes! Like, the second the shamisen starts wailing, stuff's popping the fuck off.
I'm sure it started off as, like, we need a song to pump people up, and now it's immediately like, yeah, it's a good song, but it's, like, shorthand. It's like, immediately, exactly. Like, the meme, the shamisen starts, and then you get goosebumps. It's like, something's about to happen.
Yeah.
And I think it also reflects sort of how Naruto is set as well, so it's mixing more traditional aspects of Japanese culture along with, like, new fun twists on it, because ninjas certainly don't usually wear orange, but in this series they do. So it's like putting a little bit of chocolate in your peanut butter. So Masuda has also done the music for Flint the Time Detective, Excel Saga, Kamisama Kiss, Ghost Hunt, and most notably Mushishi, as well as the movies in the second season, all of which have a phenomenal soundtrack. Like, Mushishi's music is incredible. Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's the first chunk where I've only recognized one of...
Oh, shit! Honestly, it's probably for the best.
That's kind of funny.
And the one I recognized was Mushishi.
Yes. Oh, I mean, it's probably the best out of them.
Yeah.
So the band Musashi Project also helped compose, arrange, and perform the soundtrack, and I couldn't find too much about them other than that they are a real band and they were formed in 1991.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like something that was just put together for the soundtrack specifically. And let's go ahead and get into the opening, because we've talked about it a little bit, and the opening song is Rocks by Hound Dog. Hound Dog was formed in 1976, and honestly, you can kind of tell by the sound.
What do you guys think
about the OP?
Yeah.
A lot of times, if you take the song and, like, separate it from the opening, it's a song I would probably hate, but I fucking love this opening song, and it's just because the opening is really, really, really well done. I think also this is the episode 2 where the opening changes a little bit. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but Naruto says come on in a different head angle.
Is that true?
It is. I'm 100% being serious. And then I think also he, like, gives Kakashi a thumbs up And I don't think he did that before, maybe, but...
Okay,
they
okay.
are detail queen! I love it!
I remember saying on episode one of Naruto Revuto that I liked the opening song, and then every single time I watch Naruto say, "Come out!"
I'm like, good.
It goes, it's like, where's your irony poisoning for the day? What's the irony poisoning, like, index in the atmosphere? Because it goes from objectively bad to this fucking rules.
Yes! Yes.
The fact that this works at all is like a testament. Like, yeah, no, it's. I'm gonna go say, like as Jesse said, divorce from Into This, bad song. The way that yes. it sort of works, the way that they make Naruto saying "Come on," it's a treasure.
I can't explain it, but I could watch that 2 seconds of Naruto saying "Come on" in the opening 100 million times, and I would still not be satisfied.
It's so chaotic.
I feel like I'm in my dad's Mazda at like 6 years old and just like this comes on the oldies radio. Like that's what this song feels like.
Yeah, this is getting breakfast when you're 10 years old and just calling yes. coffee. And like, I don't think I've sipped coffee. Absolutely. I don't like it, but I have to smell my dad's coffee breath as I eat my, you know, I don't know what eggs are. You know, I order eggs. I'm always kind of confused what I'm going to get, but this is good to me. Yeah, because it goes...
Naruto at the IHOP.
Yeah, it starts with the come on, mm-hmm. which is, depending on your pH balance that day, is either very good or like, wow. And then the is bad. But then when it goes... I think that's always good. I'm curious what I'm going to... on Revuto episode 26, if I still believe yeah. that. But.
I do think we are going to get a new opening... pretty soon, I feel.
God damn
like.
It.
Yeah. The next opening is, I think, probably the most iconic opening of all time for Naruto. All
right.
Because it's Fighting Dreamers, mm-hmm. which is that song I can definitely mess with outside of the opening. This song, I cannot.
Yes.
I have to have the animation. I have to have Norio Matsumoto holding my hands through this song. Yeah. To make it through.
And it, like, can I just say, it sets such a weird vibe.
Yes.
Like, it starts off with dad rock, and it's just, like, I don't expect to transition from dad rock and just, like, your friends mildly smiling at you into just, like, Kakashi-sensei is just fucking dead.
Yeah.
He's been killed.
I honestly think it makes the show better because it feels like you're watching a 90s anime. So
yes.
it's like, of course
yeah.
they have regressive views on women. Of course they are, you know, this. This is, it's Gundam Wing. And then this.
Fuck.
That music explains it all. No guesswork.
Yeah, that being
honestly,
said,
yeah.
I mean, Fullmetal Alchemist is like about out right now. And that has, both of them have some of the best music, so there ain't no excuse. That being said, yeah. you know, it weirdly does help from a like, yeah, it's so chaotic. It's just, it sets the mood.
Yeah, totally.
It really does. So the first ending song is Wind by Akiboshi. The performer's full name is Yoshio Akiboshi, and he's a Japanese folk singer. Good for him. Also, he weirdly studied in England, I think. Ooh. So he came back to sing Japanese folk music, which I was like, good for him. He's also kind of cute from what I saw. Right.
Good for him.
So, Jesse, I know you do not like this ending.
I'm sorry. I don't like the ending. I do skip it every single time. I respect everyone who does like it. I understand it is, like, top-tier nostalgia song. but I'm sorry. I don't like it.
As a song, I like it more than the opening.
Yeah.
I don't really hold it against you for that opinion, I guess.
There's also, like, no good animation to really hold you through that. There's just, like, a weird butterfly.
Ask me one thing about the ending. I have no idea. I'm always on my phone.
There's, like, a baseball. And I mean this in as positive a way as possible, but the singer sounds a bit like a Muppet, you know?
Yes.
It's I realize.
And I think I said this in the first episode, but, like, it sounds close to being off-key, but also it doesn't sound like, oh, this person's bad at singing. So your brain almost hears it as this was a choice, as opposed to whatever. But
Yeah, it gets stuck in my head actually a lot. Like, because Ben and I walk around the house like with our little Muppet voices being like, don't cry.
Yeah, it's a little too loud. It's held a little too long.
So any last notes about the music that you want to talk about before we dive on in?
I'm excited for the next opening.
There's another song, but I completely forget what it is. So there's just the three right now that I remember, but there's another one that I like.
Episode 7, Assassin of the Mist. The kids ride a ninja speedboat and see a big bridge, which of course Naruto screams about, even though they're trying to be stealth.
Oh my god. I feel like this is going to happen a lot. Like, all right, yeah. Naruto, we're in the caves of woe. Don't scream. Wow! These caves! They're sure full of woe! The only note I have, I don't know where this comes from, is like, they show Gato, the mafia man, and they like talk about how he does crimes or whatever. I don't know if this like fits in, but like it has one of the worst sound effects that like just took me out of it. It was like, what are you doing?
Oh my god. I don't remember the sound effect, but
me either.
Two notes at the very, very beginning of this I took was Kakashi's so cute. And then immediately after, Gato, ugh, he sucks, a slimy capitalist.
Yes!
It is so funny because we're going to go back and forth between slimy capitalist to military industrial complex of like, these people have no defenses. Yep. And the fact that like, they have a lake, we have cars and electricity, and we're toilets, but they have a lake. And now this bridge is actually good. But it's bad. But surely troops can't come over the bridge?
Yeah.
Believe it.
You know, believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we should just say believe it whenever a log or a slightly incongruous.
Or capitalist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kakashi asks Tazuna to explain exactly what the fuck is going on, and getting into Gato, he tells him that the hater ninjas are being sent to kill him by some filthy capitalist dog named Gato.
I only love the military. I hate Amazon. I did write Ninja Industrial Complex here, which...
If we gotta play with the pieces we have on the board, it's Gato or Kakashi. So, like, I'm gonna go military.
Well, what about Zabuza? I don't know here. I don't know. No, I don't think Zabuza's sexy, but he does give off...
Okay, I
would be good at sex, but like rude during it.
Yeah,
Zabuza has a sexy aura.
Yeah,
yes,
he's not sexy himself. Even though he's really trying, and maybe that's why.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that sounds like an episode, like a couple down the road of like, yeah, I came. What's up, man? Why did hell bomb?
That is weirdly exactly him. Yeah. Like, after he nuts, he thinks about death. Yeah.
I don't remember much of the arc because it was 2 years ago
that we watched it.
But honestly, you can tell immediately this dude fucking cries when he comes.
So, Gato, the nasty pig man, he doesn't want the bridge to be built because he wants to continue his shipping company monopoly in the Land of Waves. Nobody in the Land of Waves has any money, so they cheaped out on asking the Hidden Leaf Village for help. Tazuna then lays the guilt on super hard, and Kakashi's like, oh my god, dude, like, fucking fine, we'll continue the mission.
Such a pill to swallow.
I hate the bridge builder. I hate him. I don't care.
But Jesse, like, no.
Immediately after, he's like, please help me, my people are poor, boo-hoo, where. He's like, fucking Gaia, you dumb bitches, hell yeah, you're gonna fuck with me, you dumb assholes. They're children!
I'm on Tazuna's side here. Imagine this. You live in Wisconsin, and there's like... Amazon corporate centers where, like, Amazon Prime Ninja's on delivery. And it's like, ooh, Water Clan doesn't like you. That's going to be extra $20. No free shipping.
Yeah. Bezos blew up the highways and doesn't want anybody else to drive on them.
So, traditionally, ninjas were cops of the shogunate and whatever, which is a shitty thing to learn about when you get older. But like, is there an army at all, or is it all ninjas in Naruto?
There are samurai.
There are samurai.
There are samurai, and there are even cop ninjas in the ninja bases.
Yes, there are double cops.
So there are specifically cop ninjas, normal ninjas. Like Kim said, there are also samurai out in the world.
If you see a ninja with the Punisher logo on his jacket, you know he's a ninja cop.
Okay. Because, like, the idea that the choice is be surrounded by a lake or be lucky to be near a hidden village or, I guess, have a fucking, like, ninja on retainer or something. I don't know what the choices are yet, but the fact that they try to sell you the whole, like, I'm building a bridge to get wheat, but also the it's bringing knives to my town.
Oh my god.
The fact they don't have like a constabulary or like just a rowdy militia with like forks and knives and stuff like that is it's a little silly, but also what are you going to do with all these people using magic and stuff like that?
It definitely gets the waters are really muddied because you brought up a great point. There are actual ninjas that are on retainer for some specific lords of smaller regions and stuff like that. There's also rogue ninjas. There's also like bands of rogue ninjas in the category of rogue ninjas.
Cool.
It's kind of like the Shinsengumi a bit, where it's just like you take all these dudes who used to be samurais, they turn themselves into cops and like try to beat up all the other rogue samurai.
So they're fighting for a specific faction. Person that they save the cat for is the daimyo's wife or something like that.
Yes,
so it's like
exactly
they're implying that there's this other power structure.
Yes,
which is kind of interesting that they are, from what I can tell, I'm not sure if they're just going to introduce 10,000 samurai down the road or whatever. Not that like foot soldiers were considered samurai, but like, you know, like ninja were rare, samurai or like knights, and then you have like the foot soldiers. So I'm not sure if they're gonna like and ship it and be like, uh-oh, the cloud blocking the mountain village, and now there's like, hello.
So
we're going to drive our cars over.
Take that narrative and flip it of like,
yes,
there's gotcha. Way more fucking ninja than there are samurai. And there are a few samurai. And samurais are like not cop. They're the most not cop of all of the ninja samurai people.
Yes.
If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then I know I talked about the feudal lords in the first episode, but the feudal lords are the people who – so, like, there's the village hidden in the leaves, which is the military base, which the Hokage rules over. And then there's the land of fire, which is what the feudal lords reign over. So they do all of the civilian shit, basically.
Yeah.
Is
yeah, exactly.
The whatever town in the land of fire, the bridge town?
Mm-hmm.
I said this much.
No, that's
it's like
in.
Hold on.
Yeah, it's an island chain. It's like outside of any of the other lands.
Jesus Christ.
Naruto map.
Yeah. Also, if we're talking about like ninja cops and military industrial complex, it is kind of like a trip that this is an anime all about child soldiers.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah.
And not in a way where, like, you do, like, Gundam Wing Iron-Blooded Orphans where it, like, talks about it. It's just like, no, being a child soldier is fun and normal and cool.
Okay, I need to prove myself.
The Crunchyroll map is the first one that came up, and Wave Country is, I think, technically in Village of Sound territory, which is bananas to me. But anyway, it's not in the Land of Fire. It's in green screen. So there we go. I don't know the name. I'm sorry.
Green. Okay. That's a lot of lore to digest, but I know that I like to hear a little bit of extra stuff on my end.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice to understand more of the world.
And thank you so much for indulging me.
Oh, no problem. I love talking about this shit too.
I'm actually kind of curious our listener base is on the I haven't watched it. I'm keeping up with it. I don't watch it at all, but I like hearing you scream, or I've watched it all when I was, you know, 20 and now I'm 50.
Yeah. And I think it's good to have a podcast where people who are very familiar with it can listen, and people who have never ever watched it before can sort of follow along with the narrative. So dude guilt trips super hard. It's really funny. He's just like, my grandson will never stop crying. He'll become dehydrated and die if I die. Because I totally will if you stop the mission. And also my daughter, she's going to come to your house and she's going to fucking kill your dog if you don't do this. He's a scammer. I respect a scammer.
That's fair. All right. And that did make his points go up a little bit for me because he truly is a scammer.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And then after they say yes, he goes, I win.
Yeah.
That is so fucking good.
So bad. I was like,
what? He does like a petty boy Shakespearean aside to the camera to be like, yes. I got one over.
I got one over on these 9-year-olds.
It feels like we've had several breaking the fourth walls throughout the show. I haven't been keeping track of all of them, but this is the first one that's like hyper explicit of like he's talking to us like, I did it.
Naruto bluffs at being a good ninja but accidentally stumbles ass backwards into alerting Kakashi to hater shenanigans. It's bum 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 bum, Zabuza time. Oh, no, go ahead.
I just have a quick point. I really love how they go under the bridge and then immediately it's sunny. And I did take a note down of, this is how weather works, actually.
It is true.
Hell yeah.
The bridge had lights underneath it. I was like, do you really need the, like, light bulbs? Anyways.
Just for the fish so they don't run into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's right.
I also love that they have a giant ass like crane, but I don't think we have cars in the Naruto universe.
Okay.
Ninja technology is wild, and it gets even more wild in Boruto from what I've read. Okay.
Yeah, I know I joked about the Naruto technology minute of like, what's happening? I just kind of assumed there was cars, you know, like all the other technology seems to imply cars.
That's why they're walking everywhere, Tim.
Why have car when you can run fast with arms to the back of you?
That's so true.
You can jump on
faster
tree.
Than a car. Yeah.
Teleport with your tree log friends.
So, Zabuza, the man who comes and cries, shows up, and he seems to know Kakashi. And Kakashi seems to know him. Zabuza doesn't wear a shirt, but instead wears cow print arm warmers.
Okay, I have a quick thing. Is it cow pattern, or is it camo?
Ooh.
I say yes to both. He is primarily, his theater of war is cow pastures.
Okay.
So he just, like, puts it up to, like, be blending in with cows.
Maybe cows were his parents and he had to kill them dramatically and now he wears them.
A tragic backstory with cows.
Yeah.
I feel like it's supposed to be camo, but
yeah.
It would have to be in the dirty snow.
Yeah. So Massachusetts. Yeah, he's gonna kill everyone in Massachusetts.
I hid in the snow underneath our cars that don't exist, but now I'm here.
Well, I'm not wearing a shirt.
I will say, I'll tell you the fucking Water Clan, whatever they're called, rolls with logs in their backpacks, but their logs are GD rabbits? What is happening?
Oh,
this
God.
Made no sense!
I didn't think of this last episode, but holy
it's so good!
Shit.
It's like, give me, oh my God, it is so bananas. Of like, wait a second, these right rabbits do blah 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 winter. This is how I know. And I'm just like, oh my God. Zabuza, bro. There's logs everywhere. In 10 minutes, Naruto's gonna, like, break the laws of physics to turn into a fan. You don't need to bring rabbits. Yeah. What the hell's wrong with you?
I can't believe no one emailed Zabuza about the log realm that everyone else has been using.
That's true. It's the village of the leaves, not the village of the rabbits. So maybe that's their only thing.
Yeah, because the way that Naruto alerts Kakashi to just like, oh, fuckery abounds, is he scares a rabbit that's white, and Kakashi's immediately like, wait a second, this is no ordinary rabbit, this is a snow rabbit, and it should be brown right now, but it is white, and if it's white, it's being kept indoors, and the only person that keeps rabbits indoors is a ninja who wants to use substitution jutsu.
Yeah, what's that vine of like main characters figuring it out? It's like, I walked in, the temperature of that room was 0.6 degrees lower. And then it's like, how'd you see me? You were behind, I get you, you're behind the couch, but also over here. That Vine rules, I have no idea how to Google it, but.
This, that Caleb TV bit.
Yeah, that's so funny.
This is such like a reach on so many levels. Also, I am still trying to wrap my head around the fact that they go so far out of their way to explain the fucking rabbit, and they will never explain the logs, ever.
No. Anime does this shit all the time, is they like, they choose to over-explain a chaotic element in like every couple episodes to be like, hey, we're paying attention. All those times you're like, this makes no sense. Like, nah-huh, the rabbit. It's like, what about everything else?
Also, Zabuza doesn't have a bag. Where was he smuggling that rabbit?
Another question that I constantly ask myself.
Where's this giant bag? Okay. So here's my lore. The whole time they're fighting over the next couple episodes, they have their giant ass backpacks on. A classic thing is take the backpack off and then fight. So my lore is that Zabuza got within some area, put backpack down, let out Mr. Fluffers to go. He was like, they will like it, I think. And then he runs away. Another thing that I like about Zabuza is that I can't quite tell if his face wraps are supposed to sometimes make you think he has a giant face going, ah, because it's the way it's sort of, he has like a kind of like opening where his mouth is, where sometimes they frame him where it just looks like his mouth is just giant, like going, ah.
He's a happy boy who loves rabbits. Yay! Just like fucking Lenny from the Grapes of Wrath.
The bunny thing I'm going to be hung up on for the next year.
Yeah. His entrance, though, rules. Is this the one where he throws the sword and stands in the face?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, throw sword. And I know it's kind of silly because we kind of understand all these characters to be working off magic, so it doesn't matter how strong you do things. One false move, and it just takes a little bit to stab you.
Yeah.
But the how deep his giant sword goes into the tree, we haven't seen anything quite like that before, and it automatically feels like threatening. And then he does the classic, like, I'm going to stand and turn my back to you to show that I'm a strong boy.
Yes.
That he's a fucking badass.
Yes. And I think, like, Kakashi's whole body language also makes you immediately take Zabuza very, very seriously. Because this is where we get to, like, the big eye reveal. I'm sorry, we're jumping forward a little bit, probably. But we get to, you know, the big eye reveal of Kakashi finally lifts up his headband. And we see the Sharingan. Sasuke has a moment of... and like
I know that
because of that though, like, you know, Zabuza is a very formidable opponent because like he hasn't revealed that at all ever for anything, and for him to immediately like bust that out is like, whoa.
Yeah, you sort of take a little bit of the knowledge that we know about Kakashi, like Naruto's dad being like, why has he failed everyone? Why is he still around? It leads something to the whole concept of him being capable, right? Mm-hmm. Then him being able to goose Naruto so fast. But the fact, they do a really good job here of going immediately from, I read my horny book to like, no, get the fuck into blah, blah, blah position.
Yeah.
Shit is about to get serious. Yeah. This is not okay. What is happening is bad.
Yeah. Totally. And just that quick command he gives them to be like, get in such and such formation. Like, you could tell that these little kids, like, it hasn't just gone directly from catching cats to this. They have been training. Yes. Like, these are good learning children.
Yeah. It definitely made them feel like a team. It made them feel like... Yeah. You know, compared to the last episode where Naruto freezes, I almost feel like if Kakashi screamed at Naruto to do a thing, I think they are so trained that if Kakashi, like, threw a warning at them, even at the previous episode, they would have just, like, not thought about it. Like, oh, what's happening? Yeah. I don't have time to freeze. I'm moving into blah, blah, blah position that he screamed at them.
I agree.
Yeah. So we find out that Kakashi's special secret super eye is called a Sharingan, which is a special eye with special eye powers that allows Kakashi to see through techniques and also to copy them. And Sasuke seems to know what the fuck that is.
Does he literally say that only Uchiha do it at this point, or is that later?
No, I don't think they give it away at this point. I think. No, okay, you know what?
It's in one of these three episodes.
Yes, it's in one of these three episodes where he goes like, oh, that's only found in some Uchiha people, and it's rare.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, it's not in all of them. Like, oh, is Kakashi my dad? Like, who is he? You're my dad. Like,
what if?
I kind of think that it's such an interesting, much like the opening, it's an interesting thing of, like, something that's kind of bad and silly in previously Fart Town that immediately snaps into Death Town feels more realistic. And I think Naruto has been doing this consistently from episode one, where it's like, haha, I'm a zany fart sexy jutsu. Oh, God. what's his nuts is getting stabbed in the back. And I think they... I'm kind of curious if they keep doing this, but definitely here is another moment where it's like, no, I'm Kakashi. I've been set up as a badass. I have to use my badass thing. And even then, I might not win. This guy, his bingo book is so big. His bingo book.
I love the bingo book.
the good name for a thing that's very scary is, but you know, in all seriousness, it is like, it is effective of how, like, immediately as the audience, you know, it's a shortcut to be like, I should move to the edge of my seat.
And it's so funny because, like, they really play that, like, right up into the end of, like, Zabuza talking about his fucking bingo book and Naruto's in the goddamn background going, wow, that's so cool. I want to be in the bingo book.
That Dead Heroes 2, I want to be there.
Oh, we love our eternally dumb son. Yeah, so for our listeners who haven't watched Naruto, the bingo book is something that's used by the Anbu, who is like the Black Ops teams to identify notable ninja and like give their specs. So if you come across them, you can fucking kill them.
Okay, I did not realize what this was either. From context clues, I assumed it was like an enemy journal, but
it's
like a kill on sight book of like,
oh really?
You see this person, you fucking take them down. It's your responsibility now.
Gotcha. Like, cool.
Also, I meant of mice and men. I got my Steinbecks mixed up earlier.
I've read Grapes of Wrath. Don't come at me. But there's a lot of. I wouldn't say I remember any of it. But.
I wonder what the crossover is of Naruto fans to Steinbeck.
Would you be surprised, though, bro? Absolutely not from Mice and Men, but from Grapes of Wrath, it's all of it. The Dust Bowl, though? That's the bridge. The Dust Bowl's the bridge.
That's actually where Kishimoto got all his ideas from. He's like, damn, this is some shit. What if they were ninjas, though? The kids protect Tazuna while Zabuza and Kakashi tussle. Zabuza does jewel no jutsu and vapes really hard and disappears into a cloud of fog. No one can see him. Sasuke does a sweaty, fearful duke in his pants as he feels the bloodlust coming from the assassin.
I'm sorry, we need to focus on this moment. The pressure is so great here that Sasuke, like, arguably the most talented out of the three right now, is like, actually, I can't handle this, and I'm going to literally, like, commit seppuku because I cannot handle this.
He dribbles a little pee out, like, he can't handle it.
This choice is so goddamn bananas that, like, I get what they're trying to do, but it kind of, it's like, Sakura and Naruto are too stupid to not kill themselves. DBZ does this a lot, where it's like, you have Krillin or whatever in the side being like, oh God, gods are fighting in front of me. I should not be here. But this is like completely different. This is like the moment before two people attack each other. There's so much tension in the air. He's like, I don't know. The way that I sort of interpreted part of it is just that, like, it would better be to die than be caught up in their battle. And it's just such an interesting choice. And I'm not sure what they even mean by it, because it happens so fast and it gets fixed by the next episode. I'm not sure that we're supposed to see it as the same thing as Naruto from the previous episode. To me, it came off very much as just dialogue, just sort of sprouting lore or facts. I guess not lore, facts. Not like, Sasuke fucked up.
No, I totally agree with you. I don't think it's like a Sasuke like messed up moment and it's a learning moment. It's like, oh, fuck, like two gods are about to fight, so I have to kill myself because that's the better
option. Yeah, it's like a... It's like that quote that's just like, horror is perfect understanding, and just like, he's the only one who's able to like accurately gauge, just like, oh fuck, oh shit, I'm gonna die, beautiful, I'm gonna die.
I love that Kakashi's like, oh my fucking god, he's going to off himself. Sasuke, wake up, stop it!
Dude, emo guy, come on, brother. Dashboard, chill. Yeah, I think, you know, I don't want to really necessarily get into rewrity, plotty stuff, but I think if they would have... said if they would have pushed that fear on Zabuza as opposed to the fear of them clashing, it would have worked slightly better. But that, you know, I don't really want to get into like rewriting territory because I'm stupid. So.
No. I totally get that. Though.
It's weird. Yeah. Like
it doesn't
weird moment.
Yeah, it just simply saying it doesn't work. I'm saying here's what could it tells us it's scary, but like. We got the bingo book, baby. We heard the bingo book. What more do we need?
It like does it in the most bizarre way that I feel like it totally takes you out of it for a second.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. Wait, what did he like, just what? Say?
Yeah.
Yeah, they spend so much time like putting Sasuke up as fucking murder revenge baby.
I kind of disagree. That's what makes it effective for me is because like Sasuke is realizing he's one of the only few things standing between like Tazuna and this like scary cow armband wearing man like
no that's
and
so
just like
true.
As a kid that pressure of just like I have to complete my mission but I know I will fucking die if he decides to do it to me.
I didn't think of it that way of like, oh, there's so much pressure riding on me, like making sure I don't fail my part of the mission. Putting it in that context definitely helps me with this scene a lot more, I think.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I'm not like hateful at it because it makes sense. I think it's not even that far to make it make sense, and I think that even in the context it makes sense. It's just a little weird, but it still works.
I just think it's kind of funny that Sasuke's just like,
it's extremely funny still.
what was that line again? Horror is that Kim
said? Horror is perfect understanding.
Damn. I mean, I'm back in.
hell yeah. So Zabuza is about to get them good. He basically teleports into the middle of them, but Kakashi steps in and stabs. Oops, it's just a water clone, though.
Oops, all water.
But double oops, Kakashi was also a water clone. Got him!
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure where your drink count should be at the water clone jutsus here, but... I think you kind of got to do some sippies a couple times here.
I do think this counts as a Kakashi death number 4.
Yes, absolutely.
Because the actual Zabuza appears behind water clone. We didn't know it was water clone yet. Kakashi and stabs him, and then I'm 90% sure it cuts to commercial at that point. So we are supposed to believe that Kakashi's dead, which is not. So this is 4 fake Kakashi deaths in 4 episodes.
Like, how long have we known him?
Yeah, 4 episodes, pretty much, right? because he dies in the first episode he's introduced in.
So. Yeah.
I don't know if he's in the background of, like, episode 1 or whatever, but...
He is. He's in the
You just see him getting stabbed, yeah.
Hello. I fail students. Yeah, I was having trouble kind of following all of this.
I got you.
But they luckily for me, the next episode is mostly this episode. yeah, we've entered into it, boys. We in some anime now. So
Baby.
That's why I think inherently some of our episodes are going to be shorter is because there's only 7 minutes of Naruto per episode going forward.
Like, literally, at the end of episode 7... they recap how Kakashi, like, didn't die at like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I understand. Yeah. I can at least grasp the understanding of rolling into the next episode, recapping the last episode, because we're at a point in time where streaming services were not available. You had to fucking be there at the fucking time to watch the episode. So like, I get it. Especially with these hot and heavy episodes of like a lot of shit's happening. You actually need to know what's happening to understand what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
So like, I get that. However, recapping what just happened 5 minutes ago is unforgivable in my opinion. And it happens so often in these next few episodes.
I think that's why we stopped watching, is that like
I mean, understandable. Like, it's just like, we need to pad the last 5 minutes. How about we do it again, but in a sepia tone and with a grain filter
God
over
damn,
it?
That's so funny. Yeah, when they, the fact that they like, that sucks, is they throw on the, like, this was what happened in the past, like, zone as they recap. Like, stop.
Stop. I don't need it. Yeah.
And there are a few things that, like, as the viewer, I am sort of thankful of, like, you know, digging into, unfortunately, how replacement Jutsu works in this instance. Okay, let's slow it down a little bit and show that Kakashi, when they kind of show that he like copies the jutsu and yada yada yada. But you know, that's kind of why actually I brought up like, are there rules to the wood jutsus? Is because in this one they sort of like try to make it make sense of, you know, he distracted him so he could jutsu and then do this, yada yada yada.
But that was pretty good.
Yeah, no, I like that. And then it's just when we start next episode where it's, we get that again.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. That's why I always tell people who are interested in getting into Naruto, it's just like, get the Shonen Jump app, read it first, because there's not these constant recaps.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's easier to stick with.
Yeah.
Episode 8,
Woo.
The Oath of Pain. Does Kakashi have Zabuza cornered? No, he does not. Bamboozle upon bamboozle down here in Naruto Town. Oh no, Zabuza traps Kakashi into a watery orb. Time to kill these three little ninja kids, but not before breaking their baby spirits. Which I thought was funny. He's like, I'm gonna kill you, but first I'm gonna tell you what fucking little shitheads you are and how much I rule and how much you don't.
God. An effective kill always comes with a hard roast first.
Yes.
Of children. I'm never gonna start with the children part.
It's a ninja tenant. I mean, that's where they get their chakra from?
The more I am owned, the stronger I become.
My notes are, first huge recap at the beginning, 6 exclamation parts, fakes on fakes on fakes, and also stop saying bingo book.
Yep.
I honestly don't know how Kakashi got trapped, because there was so much, I was so bored at the beginning that I stopped looking, and then I looked up and Kakashi's in an orb, and then I rewound, and then I got bored again, and then I looked up and then Kakashi was in an orb. Like, all right, I guess he's in an orb. He gets in an orb. Somehow Zabuza orbs him, and I have to accept this now.
Basically, oh god. Oh,
I'm sorry. I was just saying, so orb does confuse me a lot, because, like, in Shippuden, they also use this water prison technique. However, it's literally filled with water, so the people can drown inside of it.
Okay.
And they do not have to have their arm in it. So, I, like, as someone who's just, like, still hot on Shippuden and, like, watching that, watching this, I was so confused. I was like, but wait, is he drowning or is he okay? Why is the arm there?
It's the power creep, right? First you gotta make the weird bubble, you know?
He's got the fucking Mibu breathing technique from Sekiro, whatever it's called. But yeah, which is funny because I know the person you're bringing up in Shippuden, and that person and Zabuza come from the same fucking village. Yeah. So it's just like, Zabuza apparently left before he learned the better version of this jutsu.
I can accept that.
He's just like, I'm gonna go do my own thing. And it's just like, oh no, he's actually really shitty.
Well, he's a rogue ninja, so.
Creating a water prison with an air bubble and having hand in
You know what? Actually, that is very considerate. Like, we're going to create a water prison to murder this person, but we don't want her to drown.
Yeah.
And like, okay, I will answer the question of how did Kakashi get in the water orb, in the water balloon. Basically, they're fighting and he's like, I will escape to the water. And then he comes up out the water and he's like, this water's really heavy.
Yeah.
And Zabuza's just like, that is my jutsu.
Right,
my jutsu
bitch.
Is all the water. Yeah.
That's what it was. It's like, I don't understand why the water being heavy is important.
Yeah.
So the water being heavy is important because Zabuza's hand is literally in the prison, but it's so heavy Kakashi can't move to like harm the hand. Is the leaps and bounds my brain is doing to make this make sense? And I feel like I'm right. So,
well, yeah, I mean, yeah. That, to me, it sounds that makes sense. Of like, all right, it sounds like Zabuza made a water net in the water. Kakashi jumps in the net. He's like, this water is thick. It's not thick. It's net. And then net goes around him, and he's trapped inside.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is funny to think of just, like, he trapped him in, like, pudding water so he can't, like, breaststroke over right, and find his hand.
Which is what I thought it was going to be, is like, oh, sorry, Kakashi, your math is normally it takes 6 milliseconds to get to beer grandpa to save him, but now it's going to take you 13, and I'm going to kill him for that. But
yeah. So, bip, 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 bip. Kakashi tells him to run, but they won't survive without him. Sasuke springs into action, but gets caught and gets yoked into the bushes. Naruto flips.
Oh, go ahead. I did want to bring up a point of like, Sasuke literally goes in this moment of like, teamwork really seems to be the answer. And then he immediately goes, actually, no, I'm just going to go in alone. Bye, everyone.
Yeah, forgot about the lunch lesson, forgot about all his training. He's just like, I must kill or die. That's how life is. You either kill or get killed on this bitch of an earth.
Or is he playing 5D chess and he's setting it up so that Zabuza thinks he's a loner so that he can turn his boyfriend into a fucking windmill. I don't know. Who's to say?
Naruto flips his shit, but then remembers, hey, I cut my hand wide open so I can remember not to run away, and regroups.
Another taps head moment.
That's when he's like, let's go wild. He was like, hell yeah, let's do it, brother, me and you.
Like, I don't know about you guys, I was a very forgetful kid. My mom had to literally pin notes to me to go to school in elementary school. But Naruto is a step past that. He has to bring himself to bodily harm to remember instead of a post-it note.
Yeah, you know, I feel that. I have a planner that I write in every day that I need to be reminded of. So,
yeah.
You know, what's hand injury to journal, so...
Naruto gets his headband back and calls Zabuza a no-eyebrow-having little mutant.
God, that was funny.
I also took that note because it's my favorite line of the episode.
Yes! He's like, you don't got no eyebrows, so you are less than, you little shit.
I wish we got a moment of Zabuza going like, hey, uncool.
Yeah, too much, bro, too much.
Or just like, I did it on purpose. It's a good look.
I'm a cow man. Cows don't have eyebrows, idiot.
But yeah, Naruto's just like, you don't have eyebrows or anyone that loves you.
That
like,
was good.
Fuck off.
Like, all right, Woody from Kingdom Hearts, calm down.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the Shamisen's going fucking nuts. Shit is hype. And Naruto's got a little plan. It's time for some fucking teamwork. Kakashi tells him to get back in the car and lock the doors, but Tazuna's just like, nah, y'all can fucking fight it out. It'll be funny.
Oh my God.
Zabuza then launches into a spiel and was like, when I was a youngin', I had to kill all my friends to graduate ninja school.
Like
you
it.
Millennials are like little baby.
Oh, the rules of ninja fighting are, 1, roast your opponent, 2, reveal your tragic backstory, 3, then combat can commence.
Like taijutsu, genjutsu. No, yeah. It's roshijutsu, yeah. Baby. He then stomps on Sasuke's tummy hard enough to make him shoot blood out his yell hole. Shadow clone time. Is Zabuza strong enough to make 20 boy bleed out the mouth? Yes, he is strong enough to make 20 boy bleed out the mouth.
And for those of you listening, Kim has written these notes, and they are consistently very funny for us. Yes. Just to like,
yeah, this is so good.
Yeah, the spine and ribs of our show that keep us on track are.
It's true.
Yeah, it makes we get to laugh a half a second before you do.
Thank you. Naruto then throws a big-ass shuriken to Sasuke, and much like fucking Uncut Gems, this is how Adam Sandler win, and this is how they win.
Have you seen Uncut Gems?
I haven't. I heard it's very good.
It's very good. No spoilers.
Is it the same plot as Naruto?
It is. We're entering the Uncut Gems portion of the podcast.
Oh my god.
How do you think that phrase is delivered? This is how I win. How what do you guys, you've seen the meme. How do you think that line is delivered in the movie?
This is how I win. That was my Adam Sandler impersonation.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, you haven't seen Adam Sandler from my country. This is how I win. He literally goes, "Hey, KG, this is how I win." It's just like that.
What? Yeah.
He's basically talking how he wins is to get good like deals, but the line like, "This is how you win by scoring points. This is how I win." Is like how it's delivered, but like it has so much more. It has like a Thanos vibe. In meme form, but when it happened in the theater, I was like looked around to the other four people and be like, that's the meme. How do people pick this up? It's like such a quick line.
I thought it was like the pop-off moment.
It is absolutely not. I mean, it kind of is because it's like a very chill movie. That's like, it's the movie is just anxiety of the movie. So this is just a moment where he drops an anxiety, but it's not like a ha! It's not like a punch.
No, memes be that way because I just watched this recap of Flavor of Love on YouTube. And you know the Beyonce meme that New York says. And in meme format, it sounds like it's like Beyonce, right? But in actuality, she's like reading this other girl who called herself Beyonce. She's like, Beyonce? Beyonce? No. It's so funny, like, seeing it in real life compared to a meme.
It do be that way, as we all know.
Such as in memes, such as in life. Amen.
Just as in Naruto.
I do want to go over the name of the shuriken.
Oh my god.
Oh yes, please.
Windmill Shadows is going to be my new Twitter handle.
Yes.
Oh my god, I love the shuriken pull out moment. It's so dramatic and it's so like perfectly delivered, and then Windmill of Shadows, I just lose it every time.
It's so bad. It's a thing they haven't set up at all in a show that they have like way too much setup, and he just pulls out like a random weapon and you're supposed to be like, huh? And I think Zabuza was like, huh?
Yeah. Like, we have never seen a shuriken this big.
And
in
is
the
that
show.
Important? Well, yes, we have. Yes, we have. In episode one.
Oh, shit, you're right. Yeah. No, that, yeah.
And the only difference between this
right.
one is that it goes bram, 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 bram.
It's foldable. Utilitarian.
Exactly. As it switchblades is out, which to me makes me think it's like lighter
it's
than
cool.
the one from the first episode, but.
Maybe. Damn, you're right. I gotta hang up my Naruto
oh
expert
my God.
Belt.
Give me. Me ripping off your headband and tie it around. Like General Grievous with lightsabers. I'm covered in my podcast mates' headbands.
Oh my god.
Yeah, this scene is just bananas, but you know, the music kicks in, so you turn your brain off, it rules.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a really, I really like this scene a lot because it shows that like these kids are clever and they do have tricks up their sleeves and
yeah.
like they're not just like desperately like flapping around in the wind. Like they actually can be pretty effective and so effective because Zabuza like isn't taking them seriously either. He's completely underestimating them that they manage to trick him and they like free their like queen chess player, basically Kakashi.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and, exactly. And I think I'm over the plot point of main characters don't communicate and therefore conflict, but I do think I'm still fine with villain underestimating hero. I think that still is, I think that'll work for me for a pretty long time.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it is, it is cool, and it does like show how developed Naruto and Sasuke's relationship is at this point, because they literally do it without telling each other the plan. Like, they, because I think Sakura, who is not in on the plan and is standing on the sideline.
Why would she be? Why would she be?
Like, literally is like, wow, they just did that without even, like, talking to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, with Big Kunai, they aim for Zabuza's real bod, and he dodges. But guess what? Naruto was shuriken all along. So, which begs the question, what was Sasuke grabbing Naruto
that's
by?
That's the thing. That's my question, going back to last Wood episode. Is it's being thrown with the properties and the aerodynamicities of the windmill demon shadow shuriken that folds out. So Sasuke, I think they explain it next episode, but like Sasuke grabs it, switches out, he also has one, and then he puts Naruto Shuriken in his backpack or something, or he puts it behind his
so
flips it to his right arm,
yeah,
and then he throws it, and it are we supposed to believe, like you're, like the question you bring up, does he grab Naruto by his like mouth and huck it, and Naruto's spinning? That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not just illusion magic, because they kind of like lead in, they literally set up like illusion magic is different. It's based on confusing your opponent. Replacement is like, this makes absolutely no sense. Nope. That being said, buddy, I believe it. I believe it.
Okay, and I don't think they, like, well, okay, no, because, like, I think they can just literally change into things. I do think they can literally change into things, because later on we meet a character, we already met him, Kiba, can literally turn into a dog and or morph into a giant Cerebus dog, or his dog can turn into a fucking human with, like, opposable thumbs and shit. So,
wait, what?
I think they can literally change into whatever they want, I guess.
Yeah.
With enough chakra. So,
that's the thing, is it is magic, so.
Exactly. Let's discuss this fucking strategy. In episode 9, Kakashi, Sharingan Warrior, Naruto, who had transformed into a shuriken, throws a kunai at Zabuza and makes him drop Kakashi's water orb prison. So he explains that the 20 boy attacking Zabuza was actually a bluff. And in the confusion, he transformed his real bod into Big Shuriken and had one of his clones toss it to Sasuke, and Sasuke, immediately upon touching the Naruto shuriken, was just like, this is a boy and not a shuriken.
Yeah, man, so, like, this sucks from writing standpoint, but rules from character.
It does rule.
Every bit of it is just like, this is my fucking boyfriend. I know what's up. This fucking smells like Naruto pussy to me. This is to me. My early note is, we are really recapping a whole 4 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
Yep.
This replacement thing is a bit much. They're a perfect team, yes girl. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I think going forward from where I'm sitting, from what I remember, and we're about halfway to all the episodes I've seen, dropping the quote-unquote magic logic when there's these moments of, like, Sasuke and Naruto, or eventually when Best Boy Rock Lee show up, is just like, I'm sure it's just gonna be, shut the fuck up. Like, it's magic. They can do all sorts of other weird stuff on top of, like, training their whole bodies for literally being able to do all these techniques. So, like, you don't need to, like, focus on it. Just look at the boyfriends. At them.
Yeah.
There's, like, a lot of... I do think they get better about explaining things in the future. There are still banana things that happen in the future that are either not explained or explained in a bonkers way. but, you know, we will, I think it helps when we get introduced to, like, the flood of characters we will get introduced to after the Zabuza arc, because each of them bring, like, basically a special magic power to the table. Yeah. And it's just like, don't overthink it. This is what their family can do. And that's that on that.
Because we got to, like, 3/4 through the Chunin exam, and it very much felt like, you know, we're from blah, blah, blah. This is what we do. So it was very much like, okay, these are other children who do replacement jutsu, but instead of replacement jutsu, they do blah, 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 blah. And also, there's a giant snake.
Yeah.
Yes, big snake. Big snake.
Yeah.
Many big snake. Yeah. So I think that Sasuke threw him by his asshole, but that's just me. Anyway.
I mean, Kakashi is, you got to.
Yeah, because the little spikes are his arms.
Yeah, that's the middle. Yes, that is where you start. Yes. Or it's either his asshole or his belly button. I'm not sure. Honestly, I am not sure what's worse. One would be more pleasurable, one would be more painful, and obviously, you know which one. Oh my God. The idea of Naruto, like, all right, in time, ba-ba, ba-ba, move my arms, move my legs. It's so funny.
Yeah, because, like, Sasuke, like, also gets a real one and throws them at the same time, and Naruto Shuriken is just like, I will hide cleverly in this shadow.
Yeah, and they set up, like, it's a shadow Shuriken, even though it's smaller than the one from episode one, and then the... It's like hiding in the shadow, but then it hits like a half a second later. It's like, this is a bit much.
Yeah.
Like, how did he not fucking puke his guts out? Imagine being picked up by your asshole and spun through the air. Like, you would vom. You would vom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he gets thrown into those turbulent waters right after.
Yeah, and just hangs out in the water.
I literally took a note. I'm like, Naruto, get out of the fucking water.
Yeah, so Naruto just fucking stays in the pool as Kakashi and Zabuza start to fight now that he's free. It's a freaking jutsu fight. Also, in the meanwhile, Sakura is super impressed that boys can fight and also get along.
Yes.
This would never happen between girls. I cannot wait to fight blonde Sakura later in this season.
Yeah. So Kakashi uses his Sharingan to copy Zabuza's jutsu as he is doing it. Kakashi fucking rules. Zabuza is freaked out that he can follow along perfectly with his movements, and he is also apparently reading his thoughts.
I love this so much.
It's Kakashi so good.
Is such, like, a good mind trick person, because he really intimidates and freaks Zabuza out to, like, such an extreme level that he, you know, loses his cool so much. It's so very good how Kakashi has adapted to the Sharingan and, like, uses it to his advantage by literally just, like, fucking with people's heads.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a good example of showing you a little bit about how things work early in the single 6-minute episode. and then, like, paying it off by the end of, like, okay, here's what's happening. He's copying what he does. And then, in the last episode, it's like, okay, I set up my water clone. And now we're seeing it live. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is just watching someone... let's say you meet a Canadian, right? Let's enter the zone. You meet a Canadian. You do not know the Canadian Star Spangled Banner, whatever it's called. I'm not sure what it's called.
Oh, Canada?
So they pledge
theme.
They pledge allegiance to the Canadian flag, and you're able to also pledge allegiance to the Canadian flag in such a way that you're freaking out the Canadian that you're owning by pledging so hard that it just sounds like you're pledging at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, they kind of obfuscate it by having them do their dope ninja hand signals and stuff like that. But still, like, I think if you make it more mundane, it's more interesting. Because when you make it magic, it's like, oh, they're doing magic at each other. But the idea of, like, Zabuza telling a story like, so I went to the market to buy a fucking cow rawhide to make the Kakashi like, I went to the market to buy a cow rawhide. It's like, it's that is like just as hard, if not harder. Mm-hmm. And then when you kind of like combine it all together, like, I actually kind of think they didn't do a good enough job to show, like, we can, I think any viewer would pause and be like, oh, obviously, Kakashi did something incredibly impressive, but yeah, I'm not sure if they showed restraint or they did not show a good job to be like, this is insane of what mm-hmm. they do. Like, most humans yeah. cannot like carry on their own conversation with external stimuli, and the fact that he's literally repeating what he's hearing in essentially real time is like genius level stuff. And I think they could have done, I don't know what they could have done, but like, I thought that was so cool. I wish they would have had a couple more I wish they would have Sasuke take his knife and was like, I'm gonna kill myself again. Like, wow. He's repeating.
Too cool.
It's so, because I think before we were starting, or maybe I was talking to my wife earlier about, like, I've watched these episodes before and I'm kind of caught off guard, and I'm almost curious if watching these filler filled half recap episodes a second time without like skipping the recap parts is actually helping, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I could definitely see that. I don't skip the recap either, and I do feel like it kind of hits harder. Do also think they purposely don't blow their load on this fight, for lack of better terms.
Yes.
Because we are going to – this is not the end of Zabuza. Surprise.
Yeah.
Like, we are going to have Zabuza and Kakashi fight again in, like, an episode or two. And so I kind of think – I agree with you, like, the coolness factor could have been, like, more expanded upon, but I do think we get that in the next fight a lot, too.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited. Because, I remember watching it, and, you know, when we were talking about our histories of Naruto, the next time that they meet up is the part where everyone else was freaking out in the dorm room, and I fell asleep, and then I weirdly lost a friend group freshman year. That classic story of when you fall asleep watching Naruto. Oh, we've all been there.
Mm-hmm, totally.
In 2005.
Damn.
Yeah.
Also, Jesse, you said that Kakashi mind freaks him, which makes me think that the Sharingan just taps you in to the Criss Angelverse, where you can mind freak someone so hard that they die. So like you said, he gets into Zabuza's brain real good. It even does his jutsus before him. Is Zabuza freaking done for? Who knows? A little cutie in a dress and a mask shows up, however, and throws some big needles into Zabuza's neck. He tells the gang that he's a tracker ninja from the Hidden Mist Village, which means that he wanted to track down the rogue ninja Zabuza, kill him, and take him back to the village so their secrets aren't leaked. The ninja's bodies holding secrets for their village is a thing that is not just a one-off here.
Oh, that's cool. That's
totally
cool. Which makes sense, yeah.
I did write Haku with 9 heart emojis.
Yes, this little cutie's name is Haku. Small baby.
Oh, I
wrote down Sasuke is Hermione.
Okay.
No further questions, thank
Hell
you.
Hell yeah.
All right.
It's true, though. He's Hell the yeah. know-it-all. But, you know.
He totally is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hermione's better than Sasuke right now, from where I'm at. Hermione's sure. better.
I'm going to stay that way for quite some time.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, that Naruto's probably the Ron.
Yeah, actually. What the
fuck? Yeah.
Absolute dipshit.
There is no Harry. Harry is like Harry probably another him. Character.
I do want to bring up, I think it was Haku that asks Kakashi, or no, it was Zabuza. Zabuza asked Kakashi if he can read into the future. And I just imagine Kakashi responding with that's so Raven meme of her in front of the crystal ball.
You can't gaze into the future.
This has been the most meme referenced episode we've ever done. And I like it, actually.
I hope you guys are all online.
Yeah, this is a podcast for people who have brain.
Yes, so you have to have irony at least this many irony poisonings to listen.
Yeah.
So Naruto's like, yo, what the fuck? A kid my age just totally wrecked Zabuza? And the masked little ninja baby takes Zabuza's VOD and just fucks off.
Is there like a code whenever it's like, okay, so this is kind of like a two-part question, and I want the short version of like, do the other ninja villages hate each other, sidebar, is there like a code if you recover the other ninjas, you just are like chill with it? Like, oh, you have their body or whatever.
So, it depends on the village. There are often, like, peace treaties or, you know, ill will towards village to village. So, I feel like right now, the closest ally the fire village has, the village in the leaves. I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening to me.
The village in the leaves and the nation of fire. Jesus.
I think the closest ally to the village hidden in the leaves is the village hidden in the sand.
Yes, they have a non-aggression pact right now.
Damn, so, spoilers. Sorry, everyone. This is our last episode. All
right, well, it's definitely not like we all get along. It's kind of like Cold War of like,
okay,
hope you don't attack me. I don't really want to attack you, but like if you attack me, I'm going to attack back.
Right. That being said, you know, a BP could hire you to kill me, whereas Shell is going to hire me to protect me. And then if we fight on Glorious Battlefield, it's like, I mean, it's just the part... You know, don't hate the player, hate the game type situation, like.
Exactly. That's precisely it. And as for bodily recovery, mostly it seems to be that, like, if someone from your village kills you, they could take you back. And it's sort of, like, the polite thing to do, like, what they did right here. But if somebody, like, maybe in the Black Ops kills somebody, they can take them back to their village, study their body, get their secrets. It's all about, like, getting one-ups on each other with, like, secret hidden knowledge and all that bullshit. That's
kind of what I was curious about of, like,
is
there secret hidden knowledge and, like, is there a speak to dead jutsu or whatever, something silly like that, but...
It's a lot of, like, jutsus you can get. So, eventually we'll learn about Keke Genkai, which is like a genetic jutsu that is passed on, like, DNA-wise.
Kim's dancing.
I love it.
To from parent-child and things like that. And so if you get that body, there's a way you can learn that jutsu or take their physical parts and put them on your body, and then you have that jutsu. It's like a lot of people have eye jutsu. It's like the Sharingan. Later on, we'll find out about the Byakugan. You could take their eyes and put them in your eye sockets, and you have that power now.
No.
So, like,
it's nasty.
A lot of the secrets they talk about is like literal harvesting of the body.
Cool. It's not cute. So Naruto just like fucking punches the ground, and Kakashi tells Naruto to get good and that they still have to finish their mission, but then he immediately collapses.
The end. Kakashi fake death number 5.
We'll count it. I do love the concept of like Kakashi just delivering, there's 11-year-olds that can murder me, no big whoop, that's our job.
I do love, so Haku is technically 4 years older than Naruto, just a quick fact. And I really relate to Naruto in this moment of being like, I want to be this thing so bad. I want to be good so fucking bad, and I'm trying my fucking hardest, and I'm still not good. Like, there are still people that are so much fucking better than me, and they're younger than me, or the same age as me, and, like, I am left in the fucking dust. And, like, I do art, so, like, I so fucking relate to that to such a degree of, like, looking at my trash drawing and being like, an 8-year-old is better than
like, even when I was in high school, I would get so upset that other high schoolers were better artists than me, like, that I'd find online, and I'm just like, there's no fucking way I can catch up. Mm-hmm. Like, shit. Yeah,
that's such a middle schooler from Norway. That's just, like, dogging hard.
Yeah, that exchange.
Just running laps.
It's like, fuck you.
Well, we did it. This episode is just as long as the other ones, which I think is beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm very happy about that, actually, all things considered. Maybe a little bit shorter, but I think these three episodes are so good. They're so interesting. I think that as long as you kind of put behind you some of the weird, confusing replacements, yada, 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 it doesn't matter. Like, all of it is, like, super cool, super fun.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I would agree with that. There's a certain amount of buy-in that you have to do to enjoy Naruto.
I also think it's a piece of its time, you know? Like, taking that into consideration is so important. Of like, yeah, this is early 2000s media. We do have to go through recap at least once an episode.
We have to. It's the law.
Mm-hmm. And, like, the animation budget is also, like, this is still kind of, like, the pilot season for Naruto.
Yeah.
Like, is this going to make it or break it? And so,
that's a good point.
You know, the animation is not up to par as it will be later on in the seasons and stuff like that. So it totally is buy-in. It's a product of its time. It's still very effective in character development and storytelling at this point, I feel like, though.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Yeah, the fact that this is essentially a pilot is such a good point. Compare it to the first season having 50 something episodes. Like, yeah, you kind of, it's not just like one episode, it's 10, it's 20, it's 30 until we have to kind of be like, all right, what's happening? And that's fine with me. And even then, you know, it's still shown in anime, so it could be season 6 and still, like, kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's part of the fun of shonen. Yeah. It's just like, shit's wacky.
Yeah.
You gotta stick with it.
Totally.
All right. Well, I think that just about does it for this episode. Jesse, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Juicifers.
You can find me on Twitter at Tim Lanning, and then from there you can find all of the other various things I do.
Hell yeah. You can find me at Kim Catties, that's at KimCatties. Like Tim, I got all my links and shit on there. You can click on them if you cannot. But also, it's important to note, Transformation Sequence, which is sponsoring this podcast, you could tweet at them at SequencePod. It's mostly Vince, my friend. He's sometimes horny, but pretends he's not. We love him. All right.
Believe it? Wait.
What's our sign off on Kakashi.com?
Kakashi.5. Thank you. Bye.
I hated you too, Sasuke. And yet...